Show. This is Mr. Tariq Elite. I am live in Hawaii right now. That's why y'all hear all that wind in the back. I'm right here on the beach, making it do what it do, doing the show live, chilling in Waikiki right about now. Glad to have everybody tuning in. I'm bumping that Lyrica Anderson. That's that freaking with Wiz Khalifa. Today's show, ladies and gentlemen, is brought to you by Case Ultra. That's caseultra.com. Case Ultra got the fly t-shirts. It has all the fly gear that you need to check out. That's caseultra.com, ladies and gentlemen. Get all those fresh fly t-shirts. And today's show is also brought to you by jazzyhair.com. You spell it J-A-Z-E-E, hair.com. They got the finest virgin Brazilian hair, all that good stuff. That's jazzyhair.com. You can also give them a call at 832-901-2603. And I'm so glad everybody's tuning in. Y'all have to excuse some of the noise in the background and all that stuff. Again, we're recording live out here on the beach. So there's going to be some ruckus and stuff going on. But I want y'all to feel the energy that I'm feeling right now, ladies and gentlemen. As a matter of fact, let me put on me some Mackin music while I chop up game with the family. I'm out here just kind of getting my mind and spirit together because, you know, we got the Hidden Colors 3 premiere that's going to happen in 2 weeks from now all over the country. I want everybody to go to HiddenColorsFilm.com and find out when we are doing or where in the country the premiere will be showing where you live. It's going to be in Los Angeles, New York, Atlanta, Columbus, Ohio, Dallas, Texas, Philly, Oakland, I mean, all over the place. So go to HiddenColorsFilm.com. Get your advance tickets right now to see Hidden Colors 3 starting June 26th. Most of the cities is going to be one day only. A couple of cities is going to be June 27th, that Friday. But go to HiddenColorsFilm.com and get all the information. And also get Hidden Colors 1 and 2 if you don't have it. All right? And don't forget to go to TariqElite.com and get all that fresh gear. Now, again, I'm out here chilling in Hawaii, and it's going to be a quick show today. And I know I say that all the time. I always say today is going to be a quick show. It's going to be a fast show. It's going to be a quick show. And then I end up spitting for like 45 minutes or an hour. But it's going to be a quick show on today's show. Just want to touch on a few things. I really want to talk about how important it is for you and your group to look out for your group. I just want to relay that message. It's very important for your group to look out for its group. And the people who really need to understand that the most are my melanated people, black folks. Black folks really need to understand that concept of looking out for your group. Because other groups of people look out for each other. Other groups of people look out for their group first. They have their groups back first. And we seem to not be able to get that concept. And this is why we always finish last in a lot of things. Now, as we know, there have been a lot of mass shootings going on around the country in the last few weeks. I mean, not, you know, if we look at the last year, since Sandy Hook, there's been, well almost 75 mass shootings. I think school shootings alone, but there's been so many mass shootings going on in the country. And I've been talking about this for the last few weeks, like with the Elliot Rogers situation and others. Well, this week alone, there were two shootings. One shooting was in Oregon, Portland, Oregon, a couple of days ago. I think it was outside of Portland, Oregon, at a school, at a high school. A student came in and started blasting. killed another student, then he killed himself. A couple of days before that, there was a mass shooting in Las Vegas where these two people came into a shop. I think it was a donut shop or a coffee shop, and they shot two police officers, and then they went to a Walmart and shot a civilian. And I was doing an interview on a radio show last week, and we were talking about the correlation between white supremacy and these mass shootings, because we were discussing the Elliot Rodgers thing, and we were talking about how that correlates into relationships as well, the sense of entitlement. And I was telling the radio host, very lovely lady, I was telling her about how many of these shootings, the shooters usually have white supremacist views. And this is something that's never discussed. This is something that they just kind of play to the left. Whenever you see these mass shootings around the country, they always talk about, well, there's an illness. They get to talking about gun laws. They start talking about psychiatric drugs. They start talking about everything under the sun except the common denominator. And the common denominator in many of these shootings, it's white supremacy. Many of these shooters and many of these mass murderers, they have white supremacist views. Now, I talked about this a few weeks ago on my show with the Elliot Rodger, how he had these white supremacist views. I talked about how Columbine, if you look at the Columbine shooters, they were white supremacists. I talk about how a lot of these shootings and mass killings are done in the month of April, which is a very significant month for white supremacists. When you look at the shootings that happened a few days ago, this week, the kid in Oregon, Portland, Oregon, when they finally disclosed his name, they waited a day or so to disclose his name. On his Facebook page, he was known to follow these far-right, conservative, low-key racist websites, these anti-black, anti-Obama websites. He was known to frequent those sites. I'm not surprised. I even tweeted something about this the other day when I heard about the shootings. The two shooters in Las Vegas, they were known white supremacists. They were on all types of white supremacist websites. They made all types of white supremacist comments. They made all types of videos, anti-government videos, anti-Obama videos. They were also known to hang around the Clive and Bundy ranch up there in Nevada. Y'all remember the Clive and Bundy situation? I talked about that, how he outed himself as a white supremacist, and a lot of people were trying to cover for him. And I say that to say this. Notice how the common denominator are extreme white supremacist views with a lot of these shooters. But those in the dominant society, they go out of their way to protect these people. They go out of their way to kind of create a sanctuary for these people, so the white supremacy is not the thing that's in the forefront. It's almost the way of protecting them. This is how groups look out for themselves. They look out for their own groups. Now, if a black person commits a crime, we all know this, and I don't want to sound cliche, every black person in America has to apologize for individual black crimes. Just like Chicago, black people are always made to answer for crime that happens in Chicago. We're always made to answer for that. And also, whenever there's a situation that comes up in America that's racialized, they start putting the mic in front of black celebrities' faces, making us damn near apologize for the actions of individual black people. But they do not do that for those in the dominant society. Nobody's even acknowledging the white supremacist views that almost all of these guys have when they do these mass killings. So people go out of their way to look out for their group. People go out of their way to protect their group. Black folks, we are going on television. We go out of our way, or black people go out of their way as a group, to try to buddy up with white supremacy, make excuses for white supremacy, create sanctuary for white supremacy, look out for white supremacy. Black people go out of their way to make excuses for these other groups. Just like with the Clive and Bundys, you got black people who were making excuses for Clive and Bundy. You had black people who were making excuses for Donald Sterling. You had black people making excuses for Mel Gibson, Don Imus. I mean, black folks are always making excuses and being the deflective vehicle for white supremacy with the whole coon train. Well, we do it too. Let's not just focus on white supremacy. We got things in our community we need. We always use that whole rhetoric. But nobody ever does that when certain things go on in their community. And I don't blame them to a certain degree. I don't blame them. Because everybody looks out for their group. This is how they win. Now, we have to understand the power in that. We can't keep running from each other. And that's the problem with black folks. Black folks love running from each other and running from themselves. And this is going to screw you every time. And that brings me to another story, the story of Halle Berry. Now, Halle Berry, for those who don't know, Halle Berry, a story just came out. Hold on, there's some kind of van making a buzzing noise. I know that sound is real loud. It's loud and annoying. I'm going to let that pass by for a minute. All right. Sorry about that, family. Y'all have to excuse the audio. The audio might sound a little bit janky, but y'all getting the energy. I want y'all to feel my energy. I wish this motherfucker drive off with all this noise. But like I was saying, now, Halle Berry, a story came out saying that Halle Berry has to pay $16,000 in child support to her ex-dude. Hold on, man. I'm waiting on this goddamn tourist bus. There's a tourist bus that's backing up. And it's loud as hell. All right, there we go. I wish they put their asses on the bus and go to their luau and let me spit what I gotta spit. But like I said about Halle Berry, Halle Berry has to pay $16,000 to her ex-dude in child support. Now, y'all remember a few years ago, Halle Berry made her big announcement. You know, she's dating the white guys now. And that's the thing. A lot of times, a lot of women, when they've had failed relationships with brothers, and brothers do this too, and black folks got to stop doing this. They have this whole political, socio-political announcement that they're going to start dating other races. They make this whole big brouhaha about it. And I did a whole show about this years ago too, talking about Halle Berry and her ex when they first broke up. The guy who she had a baby with, they broke up and he was calling her all types of nigga bitches. And I did a whole show about that. I think the show was called Something New. Back in 09, I think I did that. Because a lot of women make this whole thing, we're going to date the white guys now. They're going to treat us so much better. They're going to do us so much better than you old wretched black males. And then you jump out of the water and straight into the frying pan. And that's what happened with Halle Berry. She jumped her ass right out of the water and right into the frying pan. Because the thing is, with Halle Berry, she has internal issues that she has to deal with, and just running away to different groups of people, all you're going to do is find different groups of people that's going to exploit you. Now, the brothers, all they're going to do is probably cheat on you and just charge you to the game. She started dating these white cats, and they got a whole different level of how they're going to charge you to the game. They're not going to just charge you to the game. They're going to charge your money. They're going to get some of your paper, because those in the dominant society, they look out for their group. They look out for themselves and they look out for each other. They don't give a damn about you being Halle Berry. When she goes to court, child support court, those white judges and white lawyers and white people in the court system, they see that dude, her baby dad, as one of them. And they're going to get the most for one of their own that they're going to get for her. And that's exactly what they did. $16,000 a month in child support to her dude. See, we got to start learning the game, family. We got to learn how this thing works out here. You can't run from yourself. We got to get into a position where we have to look out for ourselves. We have to look out for our group. I know that blackness has been made a negative thing in our country, in our society. It's been made negative. and it's been made negative by those in the dominant society. But we're going to have to get over all that nonsense and charge that BS to the game and understand reality and what we have to do as a group. We're going to have to look at each other and say, hey, we all we got right now. And I know I've been preaching this message over and over again, but it's so very important because we keep running back into the same issues because we don't follow this ideology. I'm out here in Hawaii, and there's a guy, and I talked about this on my Instagram the other day. There's a brother named Wally Amos. He has a new cookie company called it's called the Kahuna Cookie Store. The Kahuna Cookie Company. Now, this is owned by a brother named Wally Amos. Now, Wally Amos became known back in the 1970s and 80s for creating a popular cookie that's still out on the market right now. One of the most popular cookie brands is a cookie brand called Famous Amos. Now, if you go to any store around the country, you'll see Famous Amos cookies. It's still very popular, still very famous, it's still very well known. Well, Wally Amos, he created these cookies in the 1970s, I think around 1975. He actually got a loan from Marvin Gaye. The singer Marvin Gaye gave him $25,000, from what I understand, to start his cookie company, because Wally Amos worked at a publicity PR rep or something like that. So he knew a lot of celebrities from Motown and all that. I think he represented Diana Ross. So he knew a lot of black entertainers. And he would send out press releases, and he would send out these homemade cookies that he would make. And people loved his cookies, and they were like, hey, man, you need to open up a store. So Marvin Gaye broke him off some paper. He put out the Famous Amos cookies, and they were a huge success. Huge success. Now, the thing is, what happened, he ran into some financial issues, and the distributor of the cookies ended up owning his cookie company. They kind of screwed him out of the deal. And not only did they own his cookie company, they own his name. So they screwed him out of his money, screwed him out of the deal, and now they own Famous Amos Cookies, and this distributor, they still own it, and they still put the cookies out. They used to have his face on the cookies. Now they don't have his face on the cookies anymore, but they still use the name. He can't even use his real name on cookies no more. So they screwed him out of the deal, and he can't even use his name no more. He has to change his name on every cookie product he uses. He can't even use the name Amos or Wally or none of that no more. So he had one cookie company called the No Name Cookie Company. I don't know how well that went, but now he has the Kahuna Cookie Company. And that just goes to show, man, when you are dealing with people in business, especially if you're a person, a melanated person, usually they don't share power with people of African descent. When you get real big, usually they buy you out or screw you out. This is why we have to create a network of doing business with other black folks so we don't have to worry about that, so we can minimize the effects of getting screwed out of our paper. And I hope Dr. Dre, he just did the whole $1 billion Beats by Dre deal, and I hope they're not going to screw that brother out of those billions that they broke him off. I hope my man does the right thing. I'm very proud of Dre as far as building up his brand. But a lot of times, like I said, when you get a brand and you build that brand up, people have a tendency to either buy you out or screw you out of the deal. Same thing happened with Michael Jackson. Michael Jackson, they couldn't buy Michael Jackson out because Michael Jackson had worked a deal so sweet and he had a deal that was so profitable. They kept trying to screw him out of his money until they eventually eliminated him altogether. So it's very important that we have to understand that we are all we got, and we have to look out for our group first. Other people are going to look out for their groups, and nobody's going to really empower black people. Nobody's going to empower black people. We have to empower ourselves. So we have to look out for each other. We have to create networks with each other. And also the black consumers, the black masses, we're going to have to cut the whole hater mentality out when it comes to doing business with our brothers. Because we have this mentality like, okay, I'm going to hate on this cat because he's making a little more money than me. That's going to have to go out the window right now. That's not working for us, and we can't keep doing the same things that's not working. We're going to have to start thinking outside the box. We're going to have to collectively change our thinking if we're going to survive. Because I'm out here chilling. I need to see more black folks out here chilling. I'm out here in Hawaii. I see all types of different groups of people from all over the world. I don't see any Africans out here. I see very few black people from the States out here. A lot of people who I think are black are just usually real dark Hawaiians. But we need to see more black folks out here doing their thing. Black folks out here kicking it. Black folks doing things on a international level. Black people just getting together and really stacking up our money and circulating our money and building an infrastructure. Because we got to look out for each other. We got to look out for our own. We got to look out for our group. And this is why it's important to go see Hidden Colors 3, The Rules of Racism, coming to theaters June 26th and June 27th. The car horns blowing and shit. You need to take your family to see Hidden Colors 3 when it comes out, folks. I'm saying it's that important. You need to take your family to see Hidden Colors 3. Take your kids, take your grandma, the whole nine yards. It's that important. Because we're going to have to start controlling our own images. We're going to have to start controlling our own destiny. We can't continue being moved around and manipulated around through society. Whenever they want to gentrify us, they can move us around. Whenever they want to close our schools down, they can shut us down at any given moment. We got to start thinking larger than that. And a lot of times when a lot of black people get to a certain level, they think, okay, I'm cool. I'm straight financially. I don't have to look out for other people. And that's where you're going to lose, because now you're isolated. That's why I always talk about black empowerment. Because I know I'm in a vulnerable position. Even though I do well, I'm one of the few that's out here. And we can't be that scattered. When you're scattered and when you're scarce and when you're individualized, that makes you weak. We need to have group empowerment. This is why people like the Holly Berrys and the Wally Amoses, individual success, if you don't have a group and a support system to back you up, you can always be targeted and you can be infiltrated. And then people can finagle your paper away from you. So it's very important that we start thinking like a group and looking out for our group. We are all we got. You feel me? Hey, y'all, man, I told y'all it's going to be a quick show, man. That's today's episode of the Tariq Elite Radio Show. I'm going to do some more swimming, about to hop back in this water and make it do what it do. Don't forget to go to TariqElite.com to get that gear. Get the gear, get the clothes, get the sunglasses, get the dress shirts at TariqElite.com. And if you don't have Hidden Colors 1 and 2, you need to get Hidden Colors 1 and 2 at the DVD at HiddenColorsFilm.com. All right, I'm going to holler at you guys this Sunday on Ustream. I might do Ustream this Sunday. I might still be traveling, so I don't know. I might do the Ustream show probably Saturday. I might even do it a day early just to get it done this weekend. So I'll keep you guys posted on that. Follow me on Twitter at Tariq Nasheed. Follow me on Instagram at Tariq Elite. And I'm going to holler. Peace.